Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Thank you so much for joining me here this morning. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. We're just here to start your day and steer you in the right direction so you'll have a good day, all day. And all that appears not to be good, we receive it and bless it and thank it and release it in your way. Excuse me, happy Earth Day, birthday, born day if you're celebrating a birthday today. It is Monday, June 6th. Welcome to the wonderful world of chaos. And that's why we have Monday morning mindfulness meditation at 7:15 a.m. So text somebody right now and let them know that we're on. And it's going to be a fantastic show today. Fatherhood and masculinity. Why is it disappearing? So that's a conversation. If you want to join the conversation, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak, and we'll bring you on after the 7:30 hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, thank you much for coming.
Okay.
Welcome to Lake Street Church.
I forgot to mute that. That was another show that I filmed, and sometimes, you know, you forget to hit the button. That's why I forgot to hit the stop button. It's just rolling. Anyway, I digress. My guest today is Lionel Abdul-Haq. He's on every first Monday of the month, and so he will be joining us, Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivation. Congratulations to Ayana, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Scott. She is the daughter of our mental health professional, Khalid Scott, who will be joining us next Monday as we continue the celebration of fatherhood. You know, June, just like May is for mothers, June is for fathers. So we're going to be celebrating all month. So she went on her first medical tour. She's going to school to be a physician. And she went to Duke University and another one. I can't remember the exact name of it. But I'll be posting it on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Did I say that too fast? I usually do. zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And while you're on social media, be sure, and if you are watching with us on facebook.com, HLN TV show, see the little logo. There it is right there. You see, because there's a lot of higher learnings, but there's only one higher learning network TV show channel. Can't miss it. See that logo, you'll know you're at the right place. And also, if you're on Facebook, HLN TV show, type in what city you're watching from. And it is now time, if you are going out and about this morning, traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you are a business owner or entrepreneur and you are in need of supplies or anything you can think of buying at your major store, Walmart, Target, anywhere, it's right there at itex.com. Actually, it's chicago.com/itex.com. And you mentioned Zelda, you get a $100 shopping to go shopping right away. How cool is it? I love it, iTex. Who cares about the others? Anyway, I digress. Anyway, traffic and weather is sponsored by iTex.com. As we take a look at the traffic, it is Monday morning madness, as it usually is, but you don't have to be bothered with it because I've got the information for you. There are no reported delays on Metro, but on CTA, the Green Line has been restored in Bronzeville, so if you're in that area, you'll be happy to hear that. As we take a look at the Kennedy Expressway, there's a whole other story. It is Monday morning madness on the expressway. Were you in the city over the weekend? I mean, it was just traffic everywhere. You've been better on walking or on a bicycle. It was horrible. Saturday, I didn't go out because Friday was so crazy. Then I went out yesterday, and it was crazier. It's like, okay, I think I'm going to stay in today. Not tomorrow. That's another story. Anyway, inbound on the Kennedy is 3630 on the reverse. On the Edens inbound, 21. Lake Cook to the junction is 24 on the reverse. On the Eisenhower, that's another story. 45 minutes inbound, 35 on the reverse. On the Dan Ryan at the Jane Byrne interchange, it's heavy due to traffic coming into the Ike, 12 minutes inbound and 11 minutes outbound on the Ryan. On the Bishop 415 in, 11 out. and to Savo Point Lakeshore Drive. It is who was redesigned by my big brother, Patrick Bradley, before he passed on. It is 11 minutes inbound, 10 minutes on reverse. And that's your traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itix.com. Actually, that's chicago.itix.com. And remember to set those DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19 and 24/7 on the World Wide Web. That you are always, it is always available to you. And it's time for your Monday morning mindfulness inspiration taken from Mike House. I'm on his list, so now you get the benefit of being on it. And if you want to subscribe to him directly, just Google Mike House, and he'll put you on the list. And send him an email, he'll put you on the list. Anyway, today is Monday, June 6th, and it says, be you. Be unapologetically, spiritually, bold. Each day, you never have to apologize for who you are. You have been amazing since before the day you were born. So take it. It's your birthright. You are the universe expressing itself to itself. You are consciousness speaking itself through itself. You are life dancing with itself. The only advice you will ever need is to trust yourself and to be what God intended you to. Do not try to be someone else. The universe has come together and helped you manifest in this way. And you are beautiful just as you are. You see, you came from everything good, endowed with 12 spiritual gifts awaiting directions from the Christ within you to become active. If we look deep enough into the universe, we will find ourselves peering into the mirror of our soul. We can feel the entire cosmos throbbing with every beat of our hearts. Life is not happening to you. Life is happening as you. So be your unapologetically, spiritually bold self. You are the only one who can be you. Since we have such hope, we are very bold. Yes, we are. And that is taken from 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. And that's your inspiration from Mike House. You can find him on my blog, too, at zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And it is now that time of the morning. It is 7:14. We do Monday morning mindfulness meditation at 7:15 exactly. Monday morning. So if you want to find out how to, or practice if you already know, how to disarm all the that which is not good coming into your circle of being. Great, feet flat on the floor. This meditation is very brief, and even though I do it for 5 minutes or more, you can do it in 60 seconds or less, because it takes less than that for somebody to come into your space, into your energy space, into your realm, and try to piss you off, so to speak. So we prepare ourselves real simple with the breath. All we're doing is breathing. It is so easy, Zelda. Why doesn't everybody practice it? Because that's not what they taught us in school. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Most of what they taught us in school, we don't use daily. And what they should have taught us, they didn't. So we had to learn that on our own. So that's why you come here to the Female Solution, to learn about it and to practice it if you already know it. So we just sit up straight, feet flat on the floor, nothing in your hands, nothing in your arms, and just stretch. Just stretch. You're sitting at a computer all day. You want to move the body. 88-year-old woman in the gym told me, honey, a body in motion stays in motion. So that's what I do first, is breathe.
Simply breathe in
and breathe out. But right now we're turning. Oh, feel that stretch in your body? If you're sitting, if you're standing, it doesn't matter. Just stretch. Just move. It's like wringing the organs out, giving them something to do because they're already doing what they do inside. But just to let them know that we know, we're aware of them. Heart, liver, lung, spleen, spine, digestive, assimilation, elimination, all the systems in the body working on our behalf, and all we have to do is what? Breathe. Inhale deeply. Hold it. Feels so good. See, if you breathe deep enough, if you take a deep enough breath, you will feel that immediately all up in here. And exhale. So we breathe in through the nose and exhale through the mouth. And I say breathe in through the nose so you can get a good deep breath, because when you breathe in through the mouth, it just doesn't feel the same. And I want you to feel this experience. That's why I breathe in through the nose. Inhale deeply. Hold it, and exhale. You should feel immediate relief if you are breathing in deep enough. So let's do that again. Inhale deeply. Hold it, and exhale. Now this time I want you to close your eyes and just be with your breath. The goal of meditation isn't to control your thoughts. Inhale deeply. But the goal of meditation is to stop letting them control you. Because your mind will take you to a place you don't want to be and keep you there longer than you want to be there. So that's what this exercise is about. Controlling those thoughts. Because thoughts can either help you or harm you. And most of us haven't learned how to steer them in the right direction so that they can help us. So the breath helps us do that. As we breathe in, we concentrate on what that feels like when you're inhaling. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale deeply. This time bringing all that energy up from the breath up to the top of the head. And as we exhale through the mouth or through the nose, prefer the nose, and bringing that energy down from the breath to the shoulders. Inhale deeply, and rotate those shoulders. Hold your breath. Get used to holding your breath. You may not know when you'll need to hold it. Rotate them backwards, and exhale. Inhale deeply, and exhale. We give thanks for the power of the breath as we inhale once more. Bringing the energy up from the top of the head down through the face and the shoulders and the arms as we stretch them out and give thanks for the power of the breath. We exhale. As we inhale, sending more love, light, and energy down through the chest and the sides and the back and the buttock and the thighs. And we exhale. As we inhale once more, feel that breath, the energy of the breath moving down through the lower part of the body, the extremities, the thighs, the knees, and the legs. And I love to rub those knees because they remind me that I'm mobile and I want to stay mobile, and I hope you do too as we inhale deeply. Giving thanks for the power of the energy that we are sending down through the legs. Feel the energy in the back up through the inhale deep, bringing that energy up from the feet to the legs to the thighs to the hip to the back as we exhale. Inhale deeply, bringing the energy back up from the back, and exhale. Inhale deeply. Take these fingers and massage the back of the shoulders. That's where I hold all of my attention. Wherever you hold your attention, then that's where you massage. And exhale. Inhale once more. take these two fingers and this thumb and knead, like this is the back of your neck, just do it like this. This way you are stimulating the vagus nerve, which promotes a good immune system, a healthy immune system. And you simply just squeeze it. Send it love, light, and energy. And feel free to take your hands and just massage the back of your neck, because that's where I hold all of my attention. Where do you hold your attention in your body? We hold it somewhere, so we need to give it some love. That's our body telling us. We need to inhale and exhale. We give thanks for the power of the breath as we take one more long, last, deep inhale deeply. Hold it. And look to your left as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the right side of the neck, and you exhale. Inhale deeply, bring your head back forward. And as you exhale, turn your head to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the back of your neck. I'm sorry, the left side of your neck. Hey, that feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And bring your head back forward, inhale deeply. Giving thanks for the power of the breath, we bless our brains this morning. We bless our heart as we are grateful it is working and we are not even trying. All we have to do is breathe in and breathe out. We are grateful for this experience of breathing, of learning how to de-stress ourselves in moments of excess or extreme chaos. You simply breathe in and breathe out. And people will look at you like you're crazy, like you've lost your mind. Why is she breathing like this? And if you got a little funk on your breath, blow it out through your mouth. I promise you they will back up. Because if you got anything smell like garlic or onion, or you just forgot to brush your teeth, that funk will back them right on up and you just simply go back at you. Now you laughing and you might say I'm a little off the chain, but baby, it works, and it doesn't take a minute, it doesn't take 60 seconds. You can do it in 5 seconds. I just gave you the extended version of it, so when you're at home alone in the bathroom, in the tub, sitting in a chair, anywhere alone, you can practice that, and that will calm you down, especially if you're anxious about a situation or a person, because we have a tendency to let those thoughts just run amok. We don't have to. We have that available to us. So I encourage you to practice that on your own, because remember, it's about not controlling your thoughts. It's about stop letting them control you. And you can do that with the breath, but you have to practice this on a daily basis. And that is your Monday tip of the day. So be sure and go to my blog, my YouTube channel, Zelda Speaks, or Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. You'll see some great information on there, so be sure and check it out. And while you check it out, be sure and check out our YouTube channel, Higher Learning Network TV show on YouTube. And if you haven't been or aware, I should say, of the amount of chaos and confusion that's going on in the world, especially as it relates to our diet, many of us are diabetics and don't even know it. I was a diabetic for over 10 years. I was pre-diabetic for 10 years and didn't know it. I finally had an accident, went to the hospital. They rolled me in the surgery room. You know how they check that band on you, Zelda Robinson, you live here, your age, diabetic. Oh, wait, what you say? Diabetic? Yes, you're diabetic. Oh, my goodness. So I discovered it. I was on metformin for a year, and I decided I didn't want to be on it the rest of my life. And I discovered something this is what you see me drinking every morning. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, turmeric. Don't sound good, but baby, it works. And that's what we die from, lack of nutrition, because we don't know the things that we eat, all the processed foods that we eat. I said we. And it has an effect on our organs, especially as we get older. But that's something that you can do on your own. And that, my friend, is Monday Morning Mindfulness. And we'll be joined at 7:30, after the 7:30 break, with Lionel Abdul-Hak of Community Cultivation, in which we will be sharing the topic of the day, which is fatherhood and masculinity. Oh, my goodness. Lionel Abdul-Hak is going to be joining us. But before we do, in case you haven't been to our site, and I did the footage for Thursday and I forgot to upload it, let me do it. I will upload footage today. You know we have a ministry, feeding the homeless, as well as sharing with them resources that we have, as well as helping them. We ask for donations to help them get butane, which helps keep them warm. Even though it's warm in Chicago, it's still cold on the ground at night. Butane, lighter fluid, they're $10 at Walmart. So you get two 16-ounce cans for $10. Propane, what did I say? Butane? I said propane? I'm sorry. Butane. Oh, it's not propane, it's butane. I know, I've been doing this for a minute. Butane comes in two 16-ounce cans for $10 at Walmart or Target. So we're always asking for donations, tax-deductible via higherlearningnetwork.org. And we were donated these. For those who donate $50 or over, you get one of these. It's a camera you put in your car. Or one of these. It's a road cam. So that's available for those who want to donate for the higherlearningnetwork.org. And it's tax-deductible. And that's how you can help. That's one of the ways you can help. Oh, and also, I'm going to play this promo for you, another company that we have discovered that helps us help the homeless. And you say, Zelda, why are you helping the homeless? Well, if you know anything about it, some years ago, my little brother, Douglas Robinson, was murdered in Tent City. And I had no idea of the amount of homelessness that was going on in the world. So he opened my eyes to that, and I just felt it was my responsibility as a citizen. I don't have Willie Wilson's money, even though I do work with him. I still don't have his money. and one of the things that we do is to promote events, organizations, and opportunities that are available for you to earn money. And this is the one we found because we looked at our bank account and said, oh, okay, yeah, this works. You simply buy something and share it. It's real simple. So I want to share this with you, and hopefully you'll share it with someone. Here we go.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. So she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickClick that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickClick on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickClick, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickClick and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickClick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And just so you'll know, the only thing that we've ever bought, purchased from QuickClick is the Noni juice, which I use to heal my broken bones, and it's great for your immune system. So I drink just a little teeny-weeny bit, like that much every day, and it's a big bottle, too. It's enough for your whole family. And when I buy it, and I share the link with you, it's on my blog, and I'll pull that up for you after the commercial break, and you buy it, and they'll give you a link, and then you share that link, and, you know, so on and so on, and that's how you make money. And this is the only other thing we bought, the hot cocoa, and it tastes delicious, and we got so much, we just share it with the homeless. So that's who we are, and that's what we do, and now we'll talk about the rest of the week.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Very grateful, and I hope you are as well, of the work that Dr. Willie Wilson is doing in the community, in all communities, all 77 communities in the city of Chicago, just not going to the north side or the suburbs, but going with everybody in the city of Chicago, in the Chicagoland area. So thank you, Dr. Willie Wilson, for your contribution. If you go to our Facebook page, HLN TV Show, or a blog, Higher Learning TV Show. I'm sorry, our YouTube page, you'll see videos there. Higher Learning TV Show channel on YouTube, and you'll see the work that he's doing. And there will be more press conferences coming up because he is running for the mayor of the city of Chicago. And if you go to his YouTube page, Willie Wilson, I'm sorry, his Facebook page, Willie Wilson, you will see all the work that he has been doing since 1996. So people who are saying that he's just doing this because he's running for mayor, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, because that is not correct. Anyway, what is correct is this morning it is time for us to bring on our guest co-host today, and the subject is fatherhood and masculinity. And why is it disappearing? As you can see on the screen, that is, what's his name, Billy Porter. Fabulous dresses. I have never seen a man wear such fabulosity in all my life. But right now, we're going to open the phone line, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. And we are bringing on Brother Lionel Abdul Haq of Community Cultivation as we begin the conversation of discussing fatherhood and masculinity. And why is it disappearing? Welcome to the show, our very own Community Cultivations Consultant. That would be Brother Lionel Abdul Haq. Thank you so much for joining us, Lionel, this morning, Grand Rising.
Well, thank you. Peace be with you, your listening audience. Again, glad to join you to contribute to the discussion.
And thank you for your knowledge, wisdom, and overstanding on the subject matter, because it's going to be a tough one today, because there is so much going on in this world, and someone says, Zelda, why do we want to talk about that? Because it's June, it's Father's Day this month. So we celebrate women year-round, so let's celebrate the men, too, especially because men get a bad rap. They really do. And it's, because of behavior, of learned behaviors in society. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And Lionel brings such a fresh perspective. It's like, I don't know what I would do on the first Monday of every month if he wasn't here. So let's talk about it, Lionel. Fatherhood
all praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to the Most High. Who is called the Father. The whole concept of fatherhood as it relates to male authority and the role of men in society. We have the role that they play in the distinction between male and female fundamentally. Then you have the difference in the roles that they play in relationship, husband and wife, and the authority in society, males, men, is dominant. It ranks as the most important and having the most authority in the context of being able to shape and influence the social order that we grow up in, based upon what is perceived to be divine authority, divine guidance, drawn from our understanding of the material and spiritual universe. So where is male leadership going? Where is our society been going as a whole for the last approximately 6,000 years or so? It's been going backwards. It's been going in decline. It's been going away from strength into weakness and wickedness, because the weaker you get, the more wicked you become. And so the world is in a very pivotal point in our evolution, out of darkness into light, and we are here to try to cast some light on that. And this is what I've been doing with you, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity over these last 3 going on 4 years. And it's important that we keep a focus that that all of this has to do with divine authority, the rule of God, expressed in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done."
Well, it is according to the will of that which guides us, guards us, and directs us. So it is an honor to have a thought king. Is that a word? who can break it down for us? Because we see all this fabulousness in men, and we're like, okay. But the social structure is so confused, and those in power continue to confuse us. And you wonder why we run around like chickens with our head cut off.
I think it begins with associating the authority of men, of male authority, what they call a patriarchal society, a society that's based upon the ideals and principles associated with Prophet Abraham, the authority established in accord with was considered to be divine law, divine authority, the will, the laws of God, handed down and established and broken. Those rules have been almost completely gotten away from. They're no longer as meaningful in the lives of people. To be following the will or doing the will of God. And that has become okay with people in America in particular, which claims to be under God in the Constitution. It expresses the idea of one nation under God. And under could mean a lot of things. It could mean less than the order of God, and I think that's where we have been misled, bamboozled, run amok, and led astray. That the authority, the concept of God that is operating in the world today, is materialism, and it's not the divine that was associated with the laws and rules that were established by the Abrahamic laws and the other laws of most religious orders that have to do with how you conduct yourself, how you eat, how you behave, your law, manners, and things of that nature with regard to our social relationships, husband and wife, and fellow members of society, operating in a manner that is intended to help us all to grow and to become closer to what the divine order would have us be. a society of compassionate, God-fearing human beings who work in cooperation with each other to support one another and advance the whole society. That's not where we are. That's not where we have been. We've been a society that elevates and protects certain people who are designated as being better than others. They claim to have a superior breeding, a superior educational experience that makes them better people than just ordinary people. And this is where we've gotten misled, bamboozled, run amok, and led astray. And I really don't prefer the I like the word understanding. I prefer understanding from the standpoint that it takes us deeper than where most people have gone in terms of their study and evaluation of these issues to see the chronological and the method by which we have been stripped of the ideals, the values, the morals, the principles that represent the strength of humanity, the protective influence from the Creator that we incorporate into our social life to make our lives whole and erect, strong and moral in its vision, having a sense of what is right and what is wrong, as opposed to what is good for me or what is bad for me. Good and bad has more personal connotation in the sense of what is good for me or bad for me, but what is right or wrong it's still what's in your best interest, but it may not appear to be in the context of what you would personally get out of it. It may be morally right from a standpoint of divine, which will help to make the whole society better, but it may not be in your personal best interest.
Right.
And that's the difference. Moral leadership is not personal. Moral leadership, I asked you to put aside your personal concern for the sake of the bigger picture, the broader, the higher right, the more inclusive ideal, as opposed to the one that's individually or personally beneficial to you. And that's the difference between materialism and patriarchal guidance that is morally based from a standpoint of divine. So we've gotten away from that because people don't want, the people who run this world are interested in material gain and not the greater good for the greater number of people.
You got that right, because it shows up every day in every way. It's all around you. All you have to do is open your eyes and you'll see it, unless you're blind. And if you're blind, you can still, you can see, you can hear it, you can feel it, you can experience it. You'll know what's going on, because that's what's promoted, because we pay so much attention to what's going on out there instead of learning how to develop oneself by spending some quiet time.
Study is really important. I mean, the idea of feeding your mind, feeding your spirit, is more important than feeding your body.
Yes, sir.
It's more important than if you don't develop your spirit, your body will rule your spirit. Your flesh appetites, your desire for food, for sex, for fun, will become a dominant influence, and your spirit will be the slave of those appetites. And that's how people have gained so much wealth and power, from feeding and satisfying and drawing people in based upon their material appetites, their their flesh, carnal appetite, and they gain wealth from feeding that appetite in others. And the people get the satisfaction, the sensation, the thrill of that experience, where others get wealthy as a result of that experience. And because so many people are driven by their appetites for sugar, for food, for drink, for partying and having fun, their wealth is expended, and other people take that wealth in. And that's the world. That's the world we live in. And it's changing. It's changing rapidly. It's in decline because people have gotten to the point where they've lost all moral conscience, all moral sensibilities. They don't care about whether it's right or wrong. They just care about whether or not it's good for them or bad for them in the initial short-term shallow evaluation of the issue.
It is 7:52 right here on The Female Solution. You're listening to Brother Lionel Abdul Haq of Community Cultivations, and we're talking about fatherhood and masculinity and why is it disappearing. And Lionel is giving us a breakdown of the system in which we are living in. We are wondering why things are the way they are. Well, it's because we've been too busy partying and having fun instead of studying. And if you want to join the conversation this morning, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. We do have a caller, 773-221, Grand Rising. You are live on the air on The Female Solution. What's your comment or question as it relates
to
masculinity? Hi, who's this?
Andrew Nelson Day. You know, Brother Lionel Abdul Haq, you are on the right track, brother. You know, moral relativism is what is the problem. And there are ways to correct moral relativism, the illogic of moral relativism. And I'm becoming more and more adept at doing that. Pope Benedict XVI denounced what he characterized as this dictatorship of moral relativism. And it was good seeing you on the Red Line train this past Saturday. I was on my way to Boys Town, but characteristically, the point is, I ran into this guy named Mike, who you know, is Catholic, and we were walking together as we were walking, as I was walking en route to Broadway Avenue, past this church that had the rainbow flag and all these rainbow flags everywhere. And, you know, he was saying the church is now having all of this abominable, you know, stuff going on. And I resonated with him because I'm a very straight person. And there is the nature of individuals. You see, the very nature of certain individuals, be they Caucasian or otherwise, is their very nature, and now it's manifesting. My point is that the Nation of Islam is a very necessary organization, because we're looking at the very science, the very nature of to the nano level of the way people are, shall we say, inexorably predisposed to be, and that's them. So that needs to be borne witness to in all departments of life, and that's just a thought.
Well, I appreciate your calling, brother. Peace be with you. I'm not with the Nation of Islam. I used to be. My initial introduction to the religion was through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam organization. However, as I evolved, I came to understand, especially through the help of Elijah Muhammad, who appointed his son, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. Didn't really appoint him. He did designate him to be the next leader, but it was something that had been part of the Nation of Islam's history that he would be the next leader, even when he was before he was born. But the idea was that he would help his father and the community in the next stage of its development. And he had been prepared by his father to know what the history of the religion of Islam was as it relates to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, who received the book called the Holy Quran and established this religion as a worldwide religion 1,400 years ago. And so Elijah Muhammad made sure that his son not only knew that history, but he also made sure that the community knew that he was preparing his son to be the next leader after him. And it was unanimously accepted. And what he did was to begin to introduce us to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the religion was established by him 1,400 years ago. And that made the big difference between my understanding of what Islam is and what the Nation of Islam is. And there's a big difference. And so I think it's important for people to study things from a historical perspective, to study the roots of the beginnings of ideas, particularly religious ideas, morally authority ideas, ideas that claim to be from God, from Allah, from the creator of the universe as guidance for us as human beings. And the Nation of Islam's teachings were very strong in moral ideals, but in terms of its historical representation of what Islam is, it is far from that. And I think it's important for people to know the difference.
I would say that works. There may be an unconventional methodology of the Nation of Islam, but it works.
Well, there are people who say the Klan works, and it works for those who it works for, but it doesn't work for everyone. And the ideal that God's teachings, divine teachings, works for everybody in a sense that it doesn't put one race in terms of their nationality as being superior to another. It doesn't put male over female. It doesn't put female over male. The religion that was established by Prophet Muhammad called Al-Islam is not the same thing that's being perpetrated in the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, because Minister Farrakhan wasn't appointed to be the next leader by Elijah Muhammad, who built the Nation of Islam. So people need to understand the history and the separation between what Prophet Muhammad established as being the teachings of Allah, the God who created the universe, as opposed to what Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan are talking about in terms of who God is being a man. That's not the same thing. Big difference. When we make man God is when the world starts declining. When man becomes God, and that's where we are today, when we in the worship of Jesus, which is a big difference from what Jesus taught. Jesus didn't tell anybody to worship him, but that's what has evolved because people have lost sight on the historical evolution of where we are today, how it has changed, how it has declined, and the world has declined in its moral values in accordance with those changes, that we've gotten less moral, we've gotten less humane and concerned about bigger issues. Our issues have become smaller and more narrow and more specifically focused on specific races and specific nationalities. And sir.
Are you familiar with Ijtihad and the law of the Persian Bayan?
No, sir.
I-E-I-H-A-D, Ijtihad, is to Mujtahid what Jihad is to Mujahid. And Ijtihad deals with the interpretation of Islamic law. The law of the Persian Bayan, I do declare, is the Sharia of Islam. And when they talk about Sharia law, what law are they talking about? They should be the best Sharia law, Andrew Nelson Bay declares today, is the law of the Persian Bayan, which was written by Sayyid Ali Muhammad E. Shirazi, beloved Bab.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that information, Andrew Nelson from Chicago. It is 8:02, time for our next commercial break. You stay close. Fatherhood and masculinity, why is it disappearing? We'll be right back.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
you for joining us back here on The Female Solution. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and we have with us today Brother Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivations. And, yes, this is what we're discussing today, masculinity, fatherhood, and masculinity. Where is it disappearing to? Well, Brother Lionel gives us a breakdown on the history of the matriarchal system and how it continues to control and continue the chaos that we are currently living under. But we don't always want to keep our callers holding, so let's go back to the phone line at 773-521. You are live on The Female Solution, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your question as it relates to fatherhood and masculinity?
Yeah, good morning. This is Prince Cooper James.
Good morning.
Prince labeled by my... Yeah, hello.
Yes, Grand Rising. Thank you for calling, Koofy.
Yeah, you know, you said this current chaos. There is no chaos when you got peace of mind. Okay.
Okay.
I'm one of those to debunk it. You know, it might be out there. A lot of the incidents that are happening in the world are fake, are a hoax.
Yeah, you got it right.
All right. Now, it's been going on since I've been here. Now, this is talking about real fatherhood. See, real men,
mm-hmm.
we don't fall for this okie doke. I'm sorry. Okay. That's why they're trying to break down. Huh?
Can you tell us what a real man is? What is a real man?
A real man is a sound of nature.
Is a sound of nature?
We are at peace with nature.
Oh,
yeah, I know. We're at peace with nature.
Okay.
You can't say nothing to that male, because he knows that the difference between a female and a male is nothing but our physical attributes. We have the same nature. It's called Medu Neter. It's called the Neter. Medu means earth, and Neter, N-E-T-E-R. It's called nature. The man and the female have the same nature, but the different organs. A male has the seed, a woman has the ovaries. Because we have the seed, we are stronger. We have life in us.
Okay.
So now, if a man cuts his genitals off, he loses his power.
Ooh.
He starts to talk like a female. He starts to act like a female. Right. He loses his power.
Okay, well, I have a question I want to address. If a man, you said if a man has his genitalia cut off, then he loses his power. How is...
With nature. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out losing his penis. How does that... I don't understand.
It becomes a GMO. You got food out here with no seeds in it, right?
Right.
They have no power in it. They have no nutrients. They don't do nothing for you. But I gave me a Mississippi watermelon on 86 in Wentworth. That was a truck. I said yesterday I was so endued with power because that watermelon had seeds in it.
Yes. Makes all the difference in the world.
You see? It had power in it. But a GMO seedless watermelon might taste nice, but it ain't got no power. It ain't got, you know what I'm saying? So, right, so the seed gives us the power. That's why if a man goes out here and releases seed every day, he loses his power.
Mm.
If a man cultivates himself.
What are your comments on that?
Well, let me. I want to install what I was trying to finish on how chaos has been created by individuals that the government picks up. Let's talk about Malcolm X. He was a chaos starter. Let's talk about all these rights, all these leaders and all these black leaders who created all this racial tension. Even today, they are propaganda. I talk with them all the time. They attack me because I shut up with my peace. They try to talk with me. They are paid by the government to create chaos, racial division, male and female division, talking about the men with the women. You see what I'm saying? Men ain't right, women ain't right. All these people. Kevin Samuels, oh, that's the main one. That is a character created to create chaos, and then they take him off the scene.
Yeah, what they did, they took him off the scene. Unfortunately, we are bombarded with messages like that all day long because everybody was all upset all over the place when they found out. I didn't even know who he was. I mean, I'd seen him once or twice berating women on online, and it's like that's not something that I want to watch continuously. And it's all part of the plan, as Brother Kufi said, Brother Lionel, that it's part of the plan to keep us in chaos and confusion by showing us images that pretend to represent who we are, especially where masculinity is concerned. Would you agree, Brother Lionel? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's definitely an effort on the part of mass media and those who control mass media to confuse people, to take an issue of injustice and persecution and turn it into a license to be immoral and indifferent to other people's concerns and principles that have been a part of the historical evolution of humanity out of darkness into light, that we've been made to believe that all of the things that have established our order of life from the beginning, following what we thought and believed to be divine guidance, has been stripped of us. We've been made to believe that that's old-fashioned and of no value, and people are starting to rebel against fundamental ideas about what is right and what is wrong, and experiment with whatever pops into their head to establish them as being different and an individual, something authentic that nobody else has ever come up with. You know, that's where people are today, and it's because the mass media has undermined the patriarchal ideals about moral principles and have replaced them with personal achievement. And personal achievement in the context of doing whatever you think will make you authentically unique from everybody else, and proudly promote that as who you are, as the way of the world, the way we're supposed to be, how you find fulfillment. And that's very dangerous because everybody is trying now to be different from everybody else in the sense of being non-conforming to fundamental principles of right and wrong. And
right.
That's where we are. That's where we are. But that ain't gonna last. That you can't have a order of where people work and operate and cooperate with each other where everybody's trying to be different and rebel against any kind of conformity. that's not gonna last. And unfortunately, when you see all these shootings, these mass shootings, people striking out in ways that are non-conforming. They are basically a statement of rejection of social norms, social standards, social principles of that maintain order, and they strike at that in order to destroy order, and that's what's happening. You have chaos when everybody's trying to distinguish themselves in some way that stands out, whether it's good or bad. It just stands out. It makes them, it gets them notice and attention. And that's what people are unfortunately driven by. They're driven by the desire to want to get attention. And they don't care whether it's good or bad.
As long as they get some attention, that's all that matters. And you're absolutely right, because I look at how during this Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, one of the things that I've discovered is that when children come on, they always say, well, not always, but many of them say, I just want to be a movie star. I want to be well-known. I want to make a lot of money. You know, it has nothing to do with your purpose, your natural gifts, talents, and abilities. It's just like, I want to be a star. I want to be recognized.
Yeah. Superstar.
Superstar, I forgot. Well, I forgot to get that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Tom Cruise. The idea of Tom Cruise as the number one box office attraction, the whole idea of the, what we were talking about last time, the Oscars, and the whole idea of the presentation of the Academy Awards and the all the hoopla and attention and the lavish wealth that is flaunted, and this is a powerful industry that takes people's minds and our appetites for excitement and thrill seeking, not purpose based upon any ideals of moral pursuit, but sensation seeking. Everything they're talking about in this movie, Top Gun, is about the sensation of flying a jet, and the thrilling excitement that it takes the audience into the jet, into the cockpit with them, you know, and that this is a roller coaster ride. It's a thrill seeking. The plot, the theme, the ideas of the story never even get talked about. It's just the sensation that is generated from the thrill of being in the jet. You know, that's all they're talking about. They don't talk about what the storyline is. They don't talk about nothing. None of it. They're talking about the sensational adrenaline rush that you get for being in a jet plane. And that's basically what everybody's talking about. Sensation, thrill seeking. And that's what Hollywood, they have oversaturated our appetite for sensation to the point where we have a gorilla on our back. Mm-hmm. That every time that sensation wants to be satisfied, it makes us stop thinking, and we have to obey that sensation compulsion.
Been doing a pretty good job of it for a very long time before we even got here. So this is nothing new. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. The topic of the day is fatherhood and masculinity, and why is it disappearing? And what are your thoughts on it? For those who are listening online or watching online, type in what city you're listening in, or type in your thoughts. Right there in the comment section, we can see them on Facebook, and I don't know if we can see them on YouTube, but we can definitely see them on Facebook. It has come to my attention that some of the faces that we see that are consistently broadcast to us through the media is to showcase men and their masculinity, which is being overpowered by femininity. And if you'll take a look at my blog on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, you will see the actor Billy Porter, who is on the left. You can see him right here. And do you see the black lipstick that he has on? Do you see the little, the neckline here? I'm pointing here if you're listening, watching online, you can see that. You see the neckline with the indication of, so you can see his chest, which is, you know, as it relates to women or breasts. And over here, in this picture, he looks like a bullfighter. But it's still, it's feminine attire. And feminine attire has in the masculine community has become such a rage today. And I thought RuPaul, this is RuPaul here, I thought he started it. But I was informed that it was not him. It was somebody before him. And they said it was Billy Porter. So I don't know. I didn't investigate because it wasn't that important to me. But what was and what is important is that our children are being guided in this direction of not, what do they call it, transgender, where they transform from their current gender to the gender that they want to be. So if they're a man, they want to be a woman. And I think it's very misleading to allow a child to make up in his undeveloped mind what he wants to be when it was decided by nature, as Brother Kufi would say, it was decided by nature, his destiny in life as far as it relates to being a male or a female. And of course, we all have feminine energy because we are born from feminine energy. So how is it that we know the truth, but when we are presented with visions of untruths, we have a tendency to believe that? I think it's called programming. Is it not, Lionel?
Salesmanship.
Yeah. Marketing.
Marketing.
Yeah.
You know, you can make virtually anything look good if you present it in a way that doesn't tell the whole story.
Right.
But we've been victimized, bamboozled, run amok, and led astray, dumbed down, and demoralized from the standpoint that we have lost touch with the fundamental ideals and principles that have guided human beings out of darkness into light for eons of years. And the wizards, the sorcerers, the magic of illusion and deception, the power of illusion and deception have been working to gradually put our lights out, to make us lose even appreciation for the idea of being morally right, what is right and what is wrong. And in the context of universal ideals, water, earth, water, air, and fire, those four basic elements, all have a parallel in the human reality. Earth, water, air, and fire have parallels with the flesh and the moral consciousness, the emotions, and the intellect of human beings. And just as water is essential to all life, can't live without it. Morality is essential to all life. There is a standard behavior that is locked into every creature that dictates what is right and what is wrong. And human beings have a unique capacity when it comes to morality to draw in from a divine source, from a higher source, a sense of the bigger picture that doesn't just include our species, but includes the role of our species as a medium between the divine and the rest of creation. That the human species is the medium that gives us the guidance that enables us to care for, to be the custodians of this planet and the rest of the creatures on it. And if we lose connection with that divine source of inspiration, of guidance, then we no longer have the will and the guidance to care for and to cultivate this material world that we call planet Earth and the various creatures on it. And that's where that's why we've lost it. That's why the world has gotten so bad. The planet has gotten so out of order is because we out of order. When we lose our capacity and concern for what is basically right and wrong from a divine standpoint, then we lose our place and become the destructive force instead of a force to cultivate and care for the rest of the creation.
And chaos reigns right about now. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak if you have any questions. One of the things that concerns me is that we so believe every single word that comes to us in whatever form of programming, radio, TV, internet. And it's like we have forgotten about nature. We have forgotten, because we all know, we were born with this knowing, but we have forgotten who we are and the roles we play, and we just let anybody tell us anything. What do you say to the person or the mother who has a child Lionel, who is experiencing what we're discussing as far as that child being born one sex, and just say he's born a boy, and he is feeling that he wants to be a girl. What do you say to a parent? I want you to think about that as we go to a commercial break, because there is so much of that going on. And I said, how do you explain that to a child who explains to you that they are having thoughts of being something other than who? Think about that. We'll take your calls when we come back. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak, and we'll be back. And thanks for watching.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On-air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on The Female Solution.
Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks on Monday Morning Mindfulness. That was the voice of Dr. CJ Mimi. Congratulations. One of our guests who has been on the show, and she gives us information on our skeletal system. She's a chiropractor, too. So if you ever have chiropractic issues, Dr. CJ Mimi, M-I-M-M-E-E, said that wrong. And if you're just joining the conversation this morning, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. If you are watching, and Hamid is watching from Chicago, Hamida. Naima Latif says, we're doing an after show. Yes, we'll see you then. And also a comment from Prince James, who says, if you go around a lion, it won't even acknowledge you because he knows he is the king of the jungle. A good lesson with people trying to alert real men. You cannot cause the men are the kings of the world jungle. So women, children, and other people of a chosen identity cannot alert us. Real men cause you don't matter. You just bring confusion and folly. All righty. Well, thank you for sharing that comment. As we return to our host, Brother Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivations. Oh, we've got a call. We've got to get these calls. 407-701. You are live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your comment as it relates to fatherhood and masculinity? Hi, who's this?
Grand Rising, Zelda, this is Beata in Florida. Your Saturday night, Friday morning host on the Female Solution.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wanted to just comment that I watched a trailer recently about what the question, what is a woman? And there was a really interesting segment of the trailer from a woman who had transferred into a man's body, and she was confessing that she probably wouldn't live very long because of the treatments she had had to become a man. Evidently, the hormone treatments and the surgery and all that process has weakened the body and changed the body to a point of bringing on early death. So it just pointed out to me, and this is on the Daily Wire network. You have to be a member, but they do have a trailer going on this particular documentary, What is a Woman? And it's crazy, some of the things people are saying in this documentary. But the consequences became evident in this woman's testimony, that all that work that people go through in terms of surgery and hormone treatment, it turns out it's very damaging to the body. So the consequences are showing up from these people's choices to attempt to change their physical nature, as Kufi put it well. And as Kwame always reminds us, we have a nature deficit disorder disease.
Yes.
And that's what part of the problem is. So thank you, Lionel and Zelda, for bringing up this topic, because it's important that our youth know that the consequences can shorten your life if you are thinking about this type of lifestyle. So we are wiser because of people who are doing this, because they're revealing the negative part of this journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
For sharing that, Viata. You wanted to comment, Lionel?
No, I just want to say, I also want to thank her for the comment. It's there. You know, what's popular today, you know, the idea of bringing into question the word that you were looking for, I think, a little while ago was androgynous.
Yeah.
The word that describes a movement of towards bringing the male and the female together in the sense of being the same, interchangeable, having no distinction between a man who wants to be a woman and a woman who wants to be a man. That's just okay. That's just the way, you know, they feel. It's okay to be whatever you want to be and to pursue whatever objective. But, again, getting away from nature. The nature is one of the fundamental lawgivers, authorities of the universe. Male and female, the nature of male and female is part of the universal order, the universal law, the universal nature. And the confusion that is coming into children in the sense of they're inclining towards the opposite of who their nature tells them they are, it has more to do with the socialization of people, I think, and what evidence that I've studied indicate that people are inclined toward one gender of it or another, also based upon the social interaction that they see coming up in their home environment. We don't know what exposures or incidents may have occurred in that child's life that would push them in a different direction than their nature called them initially. There are all kinds of abuses going on in among even babies that affect their development. So, with the experimental mentality of the medical profession in the world today, the scientific community, they be experimenting to see how they can push people in certain directions and manipulate certain genetic codes in order to experiment and see what they can do. So this is all part of the equation of understanding how we are getting the situations that we are getting. But it all comes down to the fact that we're getting away from the natural order that was established by the divine creator of the universe, who created male and female distinctly for the purpose of evolving our consciousness and our social reality. So it's important for us to maintain, to have respect for those fundamentals that laid the foundation that brought us to where we are, and to not deviate and not to separate ourselves from those fundamentals in a pursuit of some modern idea of inclusion and intermixing, you know, that blurs the lines between male and female, right and wrong, good and evil. So that's the point I would like to make on that. That it's It's important to understand that a lot of the things that we're experimenting with, we are not getting the information as to the full information as to what the consequences of that experimentation is.
And you don't know how that is going to affect you in the future, because all we are concerned about is right now. And right now we're going to take some calls. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Let's go to the phone lines. 520-296. Grand Rising, you're live on The Female Solution. What's your question or comment as it relates to fatherhood and masculinity? Who's calling?
This is Mama AZ. Can you hear me, sister?
Mama AZ, yes, we can. How
I'm
you doing here?
To you, sis.
I'm so grateful to have my new day started out by this important, intelligent wisdom. Thank you, Brother Lionel, and thank you, Sister Zelda, and greetings to your listening audience. I really appreciate this wisdom that I'm learning. And you're right, Brother Lionel, it's so much going on that we don't know what those individuals had to go through, maybe still going through, to get them to the point that they had to, that they chose to make the decisions that they are making or they made. So you're correct, and thank you for that insight and that enlightenment. Thank you, sister, for having this on you, having Brother Lionel today on this new day present. And that's my comment.
Calling. Continued good health and healing to you, Mama AZ in Arizona. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling this morning. Let's take another call.
Thank us.
Amen. 678-634, you are live on The Female Solution, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your comment as it relates to fatherhood and masculinity?
Good morning, Grand Rising. This is your favorite host, Dr. Debbie Green. Hello.
Debbie, thank you, for calling, Dr. Debbie.
Yes, yes. Great topic, information. I just wanted to share just a little light on this topic. There is factors that actually are very active of the why. Like we ask the question, you know, why would a person want to change who they are? You know, because there's several things that happen and it occurs in the family, yes, because of different core beliefs, different missing parts, such as, if I can give you an example, if there is not a father present in the home, that's giving a foundation, understanding of who a man is. If it affects a female child, the female child would either be promiscuous or she would lose her sexual identity. Then she becomes what they call either bisexual, gay, or transgender because of not having that component, you see what I'm saying, in the family. That's just one factor. Now, if it's, of course, if it's the mother to the son, the mother has some type of dysfunction or is not present with the male child, the male child either comes anger, because men tend to hold in anger more than women, so he becomes anger towards the female gender. So what happens is he becomes what they call possibly narcissistic, wanting to be in control of women, being a womanizer. And if he doesn't go that direction, then he goes according to the other direction, which is being gay, which is leading another, you know, like moving against what is, even though you would think if they don't like or if they don't agree with mom, they would not want to be a woman. But it's almost like making a some type of mockery. That's the word I'm looking for, sir. Thank you so much. Mockery of the female gender. So it's in the mind. And some, because of my studies over the years, they believe it is a genetic factor that they're born with? Because some people you would talk to say, no, I was born this way. I always, like little boys, I've always played with dolls. I've always did this. I always did that. But what happens is they may think that they always there, but no one interrupted them. They may see a little three-year-old child playing with Barbie dolls, and he's a boy. And they don't, no one interrupted, say, wait a minute, you should be playing with this. You should be playing with toy trucks or whatever. But then what happens is it changes the way that person feels by themselves. That's what I'm saying. It changes, and here we come with the technology of today. Okay, we're dealing with social media. We're dealing with all types of clicks of, when the person doesn't feel belong at home, doesn't feel accepted, or in some type of dysfunction at home, and they will go into this. Because one thing about the gay community, they're very accepting. They don't bash because they understand. They understand because, like I said, they come from so many different factors. And that's one point I wanted to also make to you. And there is in the DSM, which is the diagnostic medical, we call it dictionary of doctors, there is a diagnosis, a mental diagnosis, where a female, now this is the oddest thing about this because it's not the male. It's the female would think that she is a male, and she would stand, and she would literally urinate standing. She would do everything that the male does. And it's not just your normal gay lifestyle. No, this is what that person really truly thinks they are. And it becomes an issue. It becomes an issue because now it's a diagnosis. They have great anxiety behind that. They go into depression, even psychosis, possibly suicidal, ideation thinking, and all of this. So there is a diagnosis for this. Now, of course, if you go walking up to a gay person and telling them, they're like, you don't know what you're, you immediately get the defense because no one wants to admit. But Queen Zelda, I tell you, within the last 10 years, it was removed from the diagnostic DSM. Gay lifestyle, transgender lifestyle was a diagnosis, a mental illness.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. They removed it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's not
they
a mental
it.
Anymore.
Well, it was. If you go back 10 years ago, you would see it in there. But they took it out because of, I guess, some type of law of freedom of right or whatever the case is, because I didn't do that much research right there. But it was a mental illness. So now it's an epidemic. Because, again, the adolescents here at the hospital, that's where I reside, they are, the majority of them are either bisexual or gay.
Mm.
Between the ages of 12 and 17.
Wow. Had no idea.
It was a diagnosis, ma'am. Yes, it was.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing such a fresh clinical perspective to the conversation. I had no idea. I thought, go ahead, Lionel. I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Well, I'm not surprised that they have taken that out. It's changed. I also wanted to mention the fact that the role of people in Hollywood and in the media, such as Prince and Michael Jackson, in terms of the feminine androgynous appearances, styles that they both promoted, Michael Jackson in particular, and Prince too. But when men start wearing makeup and long hair, straight hair, different color hair, and the androgynous thing was very much a part of Michael Jackson's whole transition after he left the Jackson 5. This influences people. It influences the whole idea of it being a star is that you are a guiding light for people, that people follow or make their way according to what they see in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the reason why it was established. I think Michael Jackson was a major influencer of the whole gay rights movement, the whole androgynous movement. And it's not by accident, it's by design. I mean, the people who structure the culture are doing it with, it's really a culture, not culture. True culture will respect nature and natural law. A culture is of Satan, and it is out to confuse and to disrupt and to reverse the natural law, the natural order. So I definitely consider what we are under in this modern world to be satanic and the occult. These are people who are working willfully to undermine and to control the order of the world against the order of God, that they are building their empire in opposite of the order of God. And where we are today is at the highest level of that degenerate, acultural social order that is about to collapse.
That we are not even aware that it is about to collapse. 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. Let's go to the phones. Area code 219-616. Grand Rising, where are you calling from? What's
calling.
Your comment? Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me, 219-616?
Yes, I can. Hi, who's this?
Hey. This is Queen Sister Kitten Gray. I'm excited for this conversation. I actually have not been on the whole time, and I would like you to do this show again. It's very much needed.
There's going to be a part two. I promise you, Miss Kitten Gray.
Yes. So this is something that is very, it hurts me every day. Every day I feel the pain of what is going on with the black man. And I see it all around me. And as I'm raising my children, I struggle with this. I absolutely am on board with the two conversations that I just heard, the one about the clinical and then about Michael Jackson and Prince. And I remember, because I'm a child of the 70s, I came of age in the 80s, and I was a mother in the 90s. So I can even think back to when I was in kindergarten, and I was in love with Sesame Street. And, yeah, seriously, that was, when I think back, my first introduction to homosexuality when I didn't even know it. There were these two men by the name of Ernie and Bert. Ernie and Bert. And they were not brothers. They were not family. They were characters on Sesame Street, but they slept in the same room. Who were they to each other? They were not kids either. They lived in a house together.
Okay.
And then I remember someone that my mom had brought my brother this doll, and it was a Flip Wilson doll. And on one side, that Flip Wilson doll, it would say just all kinds of stuff. You pull it, and then you turn it. You knew what it would say, killer. I smell a rat, and it's coming from your direction. Anyway, it was a man that flipped from girl to boy. And I'm like,
right.
Why would my mother buy that doll for my brother? That was a Christmas gift. But I just started thinking back to when was my first introduction to male, not in a male role, or females not in a female role. And I can think back to like
5 years old in those things. I went to see Sesame Street Live, and I saw Ernie and Bert, and they weren't little kids like me, but they were these men that slept in the same room. But after I researched as an adult, I realized that that gay men were the ones who wrote the Sesame Street show. It was gay men, and they were introducing that stuff. And I remember there was this one song that was written for Sesame Street, but it ended up, they only played it a couple of times because they said it was too provocative and it was taken off the air because people kept writing in. And I don't know if you guys remember this song called "Hey Baby, I'm the Telephone Man." If you show me where you want it, I'll put it where I can. I'll put it in your bedroom. I'll put it in the wall. I'll put it in the hallway. I'll hang it on the wall. You can have it with the buzz. You can have it with the ring. And if you really want to, you can have a ding-a-ling. Say, hey, everybody. Yeah. And so then the girl comes on. She said, well, I got it in the bedroom, and I got it in the hall. I got it in the bathroom, and I got it on the wall. I got it with the buzz. I got it with the ring. And when he got through, I got that ding-a-ling to say, hey, Lottie. Anyway, that's from a little kid. I remember this stuff. And then now I'm raising my kids, and my son was so in love with what's the big purple thing?
Barney?
Barney. So, yeah, he was in love with Barney. And then Barney had characters that you didn't know what sex they were.
But you can
hear
every
show in
the archives.
Oh, we're going to have an after show. Go anywhere. For those who are listening, you hear that music playing in the background. If you are on the switchboard and you want to comment, Naima Latif will be joining us in just a minute. We're going to do the after show. This is too powerful to just end it right here. Take a look on the screen. There are, I forgot to mention earlier, in our efforts to help the homeless, we have decided to make some T-shirts, and as you can see, they say a variety of things, inhale affirmations, exhale negative self-talk, and just go to my blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com, and you'll see these powerful reminders of how you can continue to experience life. But for right now, on the switchboard, if you're on the switchboard or you want to call in right now, 515-609-9325. You got to press 1 to speak if you want us to take your call, because the switchboard cuts off calls after 9 o'clock. That's why you got to meditate and activate. Anyway, press 1 now. And if you're still on media with us.
You want me to press 1 now or stay here?
Oh, your mic is already open, so you're already there. So just hold on for a second. And Lionel, are you going to be able to stay with us?
I'll stay for a few minutes, but I do have to get out of here.
Oh, okay. So
I'll stay for a little bit.
All right, hold on.
South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Welcome to the after show. We are live on the after show here with the executive producer of the Female Solution, also the producer of On Air Everywhere, and that would be Naima Latif. Yay! She's joined us for the after show. We still have Brother Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivations on the line with us, and we also have one of Indiana's most prominent queens, Kitten Cat Gray, and you go be sure and look her up on Facebook. But welcome, Naima, and thank you so much for joining. It's before we continue with the after show. You were saying, Brother Lionel?
I just wanted to add the idea that, you know, pride goes before the fall. And if you look back historically, you'll see that Greece and Rome began to decline and actually went into collapse as a result of the advancement of homosexuality and sinful, immoral behavior that at the peak of its society when it starts to decline and then fail. Sodom and Gomorrah, most of the civilization, many civilizations, as they grow in material strength and sensational carnal appetites become more and more prominent in the society, is when the society begins to go into decline and collapse. It's harder to control people. It's harder to have people cooperate with each other in a hedonistic, selfish, carnally motivated, appetite-driven society. It's easier to manipulate and exploit people, which is why so many societies gravitate towards that. It dumbs the people down, and it excites their material and carnal appetites to the point where they are easy to exploit. And that's the reason why so many societies do that. And when they say pride goes before the fall, the whole concept of the pride movement, the gay pride movement that has risen to such a level in modern world, I think is a bad sign that we are in a very dangerous place in our society, in the sense of how other societies in the past went into decline and collapse as this idea of sensual, carnal experimentation becomes more and more pervasive.
Mm. You are absolutely, I totally agree with that. I want to share some of the comments that we have. Prince James says, always look at who's financing any project in Hollyweird. All these pop-up narratives to interrupt us men, natural living is just a joke to us sound men. We don't even pay attention to it. We're busy raising what we have created, not what others created for entertainment. Ha, 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 ha. No one can change the essence of the sun. All right, now, only a couple passes by this, and this will too. Okay. The sun is the male, and the sun is the female. Oh, the moon is the female. Okay. They work together with distraction, yin and yang for life. And medunit, I'm not sure what that means, but thank you, Prince James, for that. He also says, men like me don't even acknowledge these sick perverts who are just running ratchet. Okay. All right. All right, Prince James. Naima, you want to chime in, my dear?
Oh, this is quite interesting.
Yes, it is.
And it's interesting, who spoke of the song on Sesame Street. I remember that song. And I think at the time I was not aware of the underlying sexual connotations of the song.
None of us are.
Song. And probably children were not either, but adults hearing it would hear the underlying connotations. But that you can find in everything, because adults create cartoons, they create children's shows. I didn't know a lot of the little adult jokes that were in the Bugs Bunny cartoons and everything else that we watched as children. So children aren't going to hear it, but adults who make those things, if they do it for adult humor, because they know adults will hear it. And that's another subliminal thing, as we talked about the subliminal messages. the interesting thing about what's happening in our world, in transgender, the blending of the sexes, all of this, and I'm going to take this to a whole different level, so travel with me, people.
Okay.
Go beyond. We are being challenged to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
So that our understanding of existence is in line with the existence. We are life force energy inside a biological, biochemical, bioelectric structure. And that structure affects our behavior. But we are life force energy first and foremost. We are not the structure we're living in, even though it expresses physiologically what happens to us emotionally. Now, a lot of religions, and I was listening earlier to Andrew Nelson and Lionel talk about the history of the nation and Islam and all of that. All of our religions have gone through some transformations because people might receive an original message, but they don't necessarily have the understanding and the level of consciousness of the one who brought the original message. So it goes through the filter of their cultural bias, the politics of the time, and all of those things. So all of us have received a skewered message. And many of the things that were taught and were understood eons ago were taken out of our modern-day religion. One of those things being that we are eternal beings having many different life experiences inside a physical structure, and we've been everything because it's part of our soul's growth and evolution. We've even interacted with people from other worlds who understand this naturally. But during our times, and Lionel mentioned some, you know, times with me on experimentation, now these things are coming to light. We're during the times of Lemuria and Atlantis, places that for a long time were considered mythical, they did a lot of really bad experimentation, tampering with our bodies, our sexuality, our DNA, and all of those things, and ultimately blew up half the planet, which is why those continents are no longer here. But much of our understanding about life and existence has been taken out of our current religion. One of those things being that as eternal beings, we go through many different lives as both male and female. And I've even shared this on a number of shows, and I think other hosts have as well. The Lord's Canon, as long known as a hypnotherapist, she explains what she discovered to her clients, that what happens if you've had many different lives as a male, and then you decide, well, for my understanding of the female experience, I need to be a female. Maybe that first time or first couple of times you make the switch, something in you, your soul, your life force, your soul's memory still feels more akin to that opposite sex that you used to be. And so somebody who has been a male for many lives comes into a body that they chose, because we actually participate in the formation of this body that we're inhabiting. We come into this female body that we've chosen to have as a female experience, but we still feel like a male, or vice versa. We've been a female for many different lifetimes, and we need to understand that male experience. And so we choose a male body to come into, but we still feel like female. So that's on a spiritual level what happens when people feel at a very early age, I'm not male or I'm not female, even though their body says one thing, but their mind says something else. So that's what's happening on that level. And then you also have the reality of what's happening with our food supply, the tampering of our supply. Well, you know, you can change things in food and genetically modify food. Well, that's going to affect your body. You are what you eat. And we know now that if you eat a lot of, if men eat a lot of estrogen-rich foods, they're going to be influenced by that and feel feminine. So sometimes some of that is part of the sexual gender confusion. Now, the difficult thing is when someone is born one sex. Let's say you've been born a male, but all your life you've been feeling like a female, and now we have the technology to actually change your body structure and your genitalia. How is that affecting our society? Well, one of the things that it's really forcing us to do is go back to our original knowledge that we are life force energy inhabiting a body. We're not this body. So we need to remove the condemnation of people that are going through confusions for whatever reason, either because they're having a difficult time making that switch or because their physical body has been tampered with biochemical situations, food supply, water supply, all those things. Whatever the reason, we need to remove the condemnation of it as something of a moral failing that needs to be punished, because that's what we did a lot in the past. Very cruel things to people who were different. Torturing, beatings, all these things around our sexuality where we were condemning people. We have to evolve out of that low conscious level understanding. Because if we're going to evolve and be ready to meet the rest of the family of the existence that exists beyond Earth, we have to be able to respect people as the being that they are, regardless of what they look like, regardless of how they're expressing their life, regardless of what it appears to be or if it's different than what we understand. We have to be able to respect them as a living being. And here on Earth, we've been way too obsessed with how people express their sexuality. We have to grow out of that. Because most things that people do sexually, and I agree with Koofy, why are we paying attention?
Right.
Ignore that. Well, how is it my business what you're doing with your body or anything else? If you're not harming another life force, then why am I obsessing about how you're using your sexual energy? Now, you can misuse sexual energy, which we see misuse of it all the time. And I think it's been said earlier, I think Brother Lionel talked about, you know, the ways that we are manipulating, misusing sex, you know, sex trafficking, obsessing about physical pleasure to the point where people are manipulated by trying to focus on the pleasuring of their physical body. So they do become easily manipulated. We have to grow out of that. And so all of these things, we're challenged to grow. And we're challenged to understand existence beyond this physical body. And we're challenged to understand life beyond just the pleasure that can be obtained in a physical body. We're challenged to remember that we are the eternal life force energy inside a body. That's who we are first and foremost. In order for us to be ready to meet and respect people who are different, that live in other worlds, we have to overcome this extreme prejudice that we have against someone who is different, or whose ways we don't understand or agree with, or somebody who physically we might find attractive. We have to outgrow that, because otherwise we'll keep doing the same things we've been doing. What have we been doing? We brutalize people that are different. And I believe Dr. Debbie spoke of those young people, many of them who are suicidal because they're being picked on, they're being bullied, because they're not understood, because they're being condemned. And sometimes their bullying is being allowed by ultra-religious people who think, well, they're evil, they need to be punished. No. No one needs to be punished for what they are, what they look like, or even how they're expressing their sexuality. We need to understand life, and we need to understand life that goes beyond this physical body, because all of them are expressions of the life force energy of creation we call God. All of them. So when we can get to that point of understanding, then we'll be safe enough to be able to meet with those who truly are different without attacking them, trying to kill them, trying to suppress them because we fear them, because we've learned to fear anything that we don't understand. Now, I spoke about in my book, Visits from the Dream State, an encounter that I had with a being. They were not even necessarily humanoid. They were morally more insectoid. They looked more like a praying mantis. You know, very nice guy. He's about my height, weight, but he looked like a praying mantis. In my mind, I was like, Joe, we're ugly. But,
color purple but, all over again. You so ugly.
But I realized that probably to this, he was male, you know, probably him, I probably looked pretty horrifying as well, but he didn't show it. He was very respectful. So we were able to have a conversation telepathically. So that's how you communicate in the other realm. And he explained, you know, in our world, we used to have all the problems you all had, crime, violence, poverty, but now there's peace. So I asked him, well, what did you all do to solve the problems? And he just said, we followed our prophet, which, you know, let me know because, you know, as we're taught in the Holy Quran, every people, everywhere all around the world, everybody has received some kind of teaching that teaches them right from wrong. If you follow it, then you won't have problems. Seems so simple. Why have we not been able to do that on Earth? Because we keep thinking we're supposed to persecute people who are different. We keep thinking we're supposed to oppress people. We don't know how to share. So basic things. If we could just get to that point in our evolution, all of our problems would be gone. What do we say here every day? We can solve all our problems. All we have to do is share. So if you keep thinking that other people who are different don't deserve to have their basic needs met, don't deserve basic respect, don't deserve any love, then you'll never get to the point where we can outgrow all of these problems that we have created. So this is challenging us to stop judging, stop condemning, stop hating. Just love them even if you don't understand. That's what we have.
Powerful. Hamida Zia says subliminal suggestion. Yeah. Everything is subliminal. Shout out to my girl Phyllis Wilson from Glenwood, because I'll see y'all Tuesday morning, and we're going to spank some more booty. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's Big Whiz, okay? Yes, we are the Big Whiz Queens. As the children say, rip, pull their hand up and snap it back. Yes, we are the Big Whiz Queens. Yes, we are. Did I do it right, Naima? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lionel. I hear your voice back there. I hear a comment coming.
Okay, I appreciate you, Sister Naima. I appreciate your comment. I think from my perspective, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna have to get out of here. But the ideal that we're striving for is a social order. When the prayer says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the idea is that we are going to come into a social order that is divinely guided with principles that allow us to grow, that doesn't stifle our growth, but allows us room for growth. And I think a fundamental part of that is the ideal that respects fundamental, basic, natural law. And basic natural law does not put your sexuality in public display, does not bring your sex life, your personal preferences into the social reality. When we begin to promote ideas, concepts of life that speak to our basic nature in ways that are in conflict or create problems for the social reality, our private life coming into our social life and creating problems for the social reality. That's where the real problems, I think, have not been addressed properly. Abusing people for their difference is not humane. It's not the order of God. Creating a social environment that respects everybody is one that does not bring your personal life into the social reality. You keep your private life private. You keep your social life in a way that respects everybody in society. The idea of bringing your sex into the public arena is where the problem lies. We have to keep our sexuality, our personal preferences, personal. we bring out, what we bring out into the public and the social reality has to be something that conforms to a standard that respects everyone.
Mm.
And that's not what we're doing.
Mm-mm.
That's not what we're doing. The conflict comes when you bring your sexual, private, personal preference into a social reality and demand that everybody allow you to do that.
Mm.
When in the context of social law and social reality, your sexuality shouldn't even be a public issue.
Thank
you. You should keep that private.
Yes.
And that's where I think the problems lie.
Mm.
And I can't stay much longer. I got to go. I want to let anybody respond if they want to. But
okay.
That's basically my position on that.
All right. Thank you so much. Powerful, you know, because we just put everything out here now. Everything. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is personal anymore. So you are right on target. Thank you so much, Brother Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivations. He is with us here every first Monday of the month, and we are honored to have him here. I can't wait till July because I know it's going to be hot and popping, as the children say. Fatherhood and masculinity. I will be including information on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, for future information as well as information from the show that I'd like to share with you. Lionel, would you like to leave some contact information?
Yes, I would. 773-642-1453. And I appreciate all that you girls, ladies are doing, and may Allah continue to bless us all.
And that is Lionel Abdul-Haq. If you want to reach him, there's the number on the screen, 773-642-1453. And if you'd like to continue the conversation with him, not right now because he's got to go, please feel free to do that. Thank you so much, Lionel Abdul-Haq. We appreciate you, and we look forward to next month, the first Monday of every month, as we continue the show Fatherhood and Masculinity, Why Is It Disappearing, Part 1. This is Part 1. We'll finish Part 2 next. We'll post it on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Go ahead, Naima. Thank you so much, Brother Lionel. Appreciate it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Always a hot button.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, and thank you so much for joining us, Brother Lionel, always appreciating your wisdom. This is always such a hot button issue. Anything involving sexuality is challenging for human beings because our understanding of sex has been so twisted and so full of emotionally charged feelings because it's been weaponized over the centuries. Think of the times when people could be beaten to death for engaging in sex with someone that the religious structure had not approved of, or families even today doing what they call honor killings of somebody, you know, if a woman in their family was sexually involved with someone they didn't approve of. So we've had people who've been homosexual who've been killed. People burned to death, and all of these things, or labeled mentally ill and institutionalized for life. So one's sexuality has been such an intense issue because we have such little understanding of sex. We don't know what it is. We don't understand. It's the most powerful life force energy, the most powerful creative energy. We don't understand, and so it gets misused and manipulated and weaponized. And when we can grow to an understanding of sexuality, then we'll see more healthy expressions of it and not ways that are exploitive or lacking in sensitivity or abuses, but we first have to understand and respect the energy, the creative energy of what sexuality is. Now, there are a lot of cultures that don't want any kind of sexual expression between male and female, male and male, female and female. And matter of fact, my niece who lives in China, she lives and works in China, her and her husband, there was a big issue that came up. I guess two of the high school students, I think, were seen walking holding hands, which is a no-no. So, you know, there was punishments that were discussed, what should happen, were they going to be expelled, and all of that. It's because they were holding hands.
Mm.
You're not supposed to have any kind of contact at all that could be in any way seen as, you know, sexually expressive. So now we know people touch each other all the time here in this culture, but some cultures, it's like no contact. And even in Muslim countries, of course, there is a lot of culturally, women and men, you don't touch each other at all. You don't shake hands. You don't hold hands. You don't do nothing. Not even husband and wife in public express any kind of affection. So some cultures don't want any kind of sexual expression between human beings at all. And then you have other cultures. And a friend of mine that went to Nigeria, he's American, went to Nigeria, and, you know, his friend from Nigeria was holding his hand, walking down the street, and he felt very uncomfortable because the man was not gay. It was just holding hands between men is not seen as a sexual thing. It's just, you know, something men do, like, you know, hey, brother, you know, walk down the street, hold hands. So that was a different culture. Now, here, if you saw two men holding hands, you'd be, oh, they're gay, okay. You know, some people might get offended, some like, well, whatever. And then you have people where, you know, homosexuality, and we've got various places where it's openly expressed, where you might see same-sex couples kissing. The mayor of the city made a point to be expressive and affectionate to her wife during her inauguration. We were there. We covered it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some people who that offend, and they are upset if they see it openly displayed. So do you create laws that say people may not engage in physical displays of affection that could be construed as sexual, particularly if they are of the same sex, because it offends the people? Do you make a law like that? And how and who would enforce that? And how could you possibly enforce that without abusing it? So this is the challenge that we have as a human family in these times, to look at our senses and see what our beliefs about sex are. Are they healthy or are they twisted? Are they evolving out of centuries of abuse of each other about sex? Do we find certain actions shameful and disgusting? And how do we set a standard that everybody can agree on? Because everybody can't agree. Going from place to place, you will see different standards. So this is a challenge that we have. And we have it for a reason. It's for us to grow. It's for us to grow up. It's for us to evolve. It's for us to see ourselves not as a body with a spirit, but a spirit inside a body. And we're going to let this body go and go back to the spirit realm and continue our experiences. So if we're basing all of our evaluations on who's worthy, who's decent, if we're basing all of our judgment on a body, then we still haven't understood the spiritual realm of existence. And that's the challenge that we have. Now, I know a lot of people feel like, well, what do you say about what people just want to have sex on the street, you know? I think it's like anything else. You respect the general culture of where you are out of respect for people's sensitivity. I was reading this book. It's 9:30. You got to go? I don't know if you're talking while I am.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Put Newton Message Down Under, where this woman, Marla Morgan, I'm sure.
Yes. My trainer gave me that book years ago, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, people there, they walk around in their open spaces with no clothing.
Sure,
but they understood that she had a certain level of modesty. So they gave her, you know, some, you know, put over her basic part. For her, it was still like, oh, well, I'm not wearing any clothes. But they did, and they put on clothes, and they said they did it out of respect for her modesty. So that's really what we have to do. Respect the modesty of the people where you are. And a friend who visited a sister from, I forgot which country it was from, but, you know, that African country, the women, you know, were tough. And I think it might have been, I think she was Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, he came to visit her, and she had on a small skirt and no top. So he was very embarrassed, like, oh, my God, you know, I don't know, because men aren't used to seeing women just walking around with their breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, my country's nothing.
Right.
So, you know, I think she eventually went and put on a blouse. You know, she kind of teased him and be like, yeah, you're so silly. But she realized he was truly embarrassed and was having a hard time looking at her, talking to her and everything because of his level of modesty. So if we're going to coexist, we have to respect each other's level of modesty and not feel that people should decrease their level of modesty because it's not our level of modesty. We should be respectful. You know, many women in the Muslim community that I've been a part of in the last 35 years, many of them come from countries where women wear veils. You know, you don't show your face in public. And when they got here, you know, this is way before COVID, like back in the 80s, 90s. Well, in America, you're covering your face, you're walking into a place, you know, that means you're a bandit about to rob the place. So they were getting stopped by security, like, what are you doing? You have to take it off. And they were like, no. So this one woman, you know, and she hardly spoke English. The security actually was going to arrest her, and she, you know, she was crying, distraught. He called her husband, who spoke better English, and he had to come to the store where she was trying to shop and explain to the security that this is our custom. You know, she's not coming here to rob you.
Right.
So, again, culture.
Right.
And you might have some people who feel like, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not covering my body. I'm not covering my part. You know, I don't care about these people. But, again, if we're going to coexist, then what we should do is respect the modesty of the people where we live. What is the saying in Rome? Do what Romans do, whatever. Sometimes you don't want to do what Romans do, but sometimes it's second. But, you know, on a higher level, if people have a certain level of modesty, just be respectful. That's not going to kill
you. Nope.
I understand that people who are in a relationship don't feel like, well, I shouldn't be able to express my affection to my spouse just because these people don't agree. And that's another thing. As we respect each other's modesty, we also have to respect each other's rights. So if I'm somewhere with my spouse and we're holding hands, we're hugging, we're kissing, all this sort of thing, you know, maybe you get a little affection. Oh, okay, it's my spouse. But then somebody else who has a spouse of the same gender is made to feel like, oh, you're a disgusting person if they're showing affection to their spouse. Is that right? Is that respectful? Even if we don't understand it, even if we don't agree, even if we feel like there's something wrong with whatever it is, and we quote all kinds of scriptures because they're all there, but these are two beings. And before they were inside these bodies, they were two spirits. And it's the spirit that attracts spirit, and it's the spirit that loves the spirit. So if they're expressing affection in the bodies that they're wearing, and we don't understand that, or we feel like it's out of order with nature, whatever it is, and we're saying, I don't want you expressing affection to this person because it offends me, we have to look at ourselves.
Thank you.
Is that a loving way to treat another being? So it's all of these things that we have to consider as we grow as a human family, respecting people, respecting their sense of modesty, respecting customs and cultures, but also respecting rights. And we should be able to get to the point of commonality where we're not attacking each other because we don't understand it. Yes, there is a distinct male and female energy. And that's for a reason. But even that evolves. And I think it was Beata was talking about the documentary earlier, What is a Woman? there was a time when roles were very much defined. Okay, I'm a man and I'm going to drive a truck, or I'm going to dig in the dirt. I'm a female, I'm going to be home sewing and knitting and cooking. This is my role. Well, a lot of things change those roles, and those roles have been quite blurred now. Matter of fact, you know, you go out in the city of Chicago, most of the people driving the buses are female.
Yeah, they are.
So a lot of things that used to be very much gender-based, that doesn't exist anymore. You have a whole lot of men that cook and clean and you know, all of that, and they're masculine.
Got one right here, I know.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, but there was a time that people wouldn't teach their sons how to cook. So, you know, they didn't know how to feed themselves.
Honey,
but
my
nanny
taught him well.
Oh, yeah. And my husband, he definitely was a great cook. People came and visited us for his cooking. And
just for his cooking, I know. Same here. Tell the short come all the time. When Tony cooking again?
Yeah. So the sharp lines of gender and roles have changed. They have evolved. You don't stop becoming female because you're driving a bus. You don't stop becoming male because you sew clothing. I mean, my husband, he also sewed. He used to make my garments.
Wow.
So he made a whole wardrobe.
Wow.
So now, if your thought of, well, that's not a masculine act. Well, you know,
yes, it is.
Limited. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Tony's brother made prom dresses. Tony's brother, Minus, he made prom dresses.
Ain't nothing feminine
about him.
Right.
Most of the designers in America are men. Women are just catching up.
Yeah.
Even though we've been behind the scenes all the time, because that's where they learned how to sew from us. So I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. But you know, a skill is a skill.
Right.
A skill is neither male nor female. It's a skill. So
right.
you can drive a train, you can plow a field, you can drive an airplane, you can sew a garment, you can cook a banquet, you can braid hair, you can do all kinds of things. There's skills. A skill is neither male nor female, but there were times when they were very sharply defined by gender. So now when it comes to toys, little boys, they may tend to gravitate towards trucks and trains and that sort of thing. I got a little nephew, and whenever I go babysit him, I got to, you know, roll around on the floor with his trucks and cars and stuff. And that's fine. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's all boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are people who are like, well, look, yeah, I should give my son wants a doll. He's going to be a father one day, perhaps, or even, he may be a caregiver. Maybe he should know how to take care of a baby doll or something like that. Some people look at that way. Some people go, oh, I would never give my son a doll. He can end up being a effie, you know, all kinds of things. Because we have those concepts. A feminine boy, many times, has been the subject of teasing, of ridicule, of bullying. Some have committed suicide. Now, is that a kind way to treat a person? So, if someone evolves towards something, an interest that they have, I have a very good friend who's a famous designer, and I have modeled in his shows, and he said when he was a boy, his father bought him a sewing machine.
Mm.
Fabulous designer. Quentin D. Alexander.
Downtown. Yes.
He learned how to sew at a very early age. That was a skill he developed. So if someone has an interest towards something, and you don't know, again, looking beyond this one life, we've had many different lives, many different experiences. Someone could have been a great designer, a great musician, a great chef in another life, and sometimes those interests bleed into another life. If we're allowed to realize that we're eternal beings having many life experiences, then we can accept these things and see people beyond whatever body they're living in right now. That's why we have these child geniuses. You know, 6 years old and you're playing Mozart. Well,
right.
In another life, you were a piano master, so that's still a part of what your soul remembers. So this is why we have to see each other beyond the body we're wearing right now. We are eternal beings, having a temporary life experience for our soul's growth and evolution so that we can learn how to love. That's why we're here, to learn how to love. You can't love if you're in judgment.
No.
You can't love if you're in condemnation. You can't love if you think people should be punished because they're behaving in a way that you don't understand. So this is why we have to look at why we're triggered so much by this whole transgender thing. There is a point where people are manipulating sexuality and sexual energy in a way that is unhealthy, in a way that is destructive. And we do have to look at that. Because anytime people are focusing on the body, the pleasures of the body, the stimulation of the body, they are trying to manipulate. And there is a point where we have to say stop. Everything cannot be sexualized. So even that Sesame Street song, I mean, it's a cute song. I think it's funny that it was understood that that was, you know, some sexual innuendos in the song. Should they have pulled it? Well, children wouldn't have seen it that way unless either children have been so much sexualized and exposed to sexuality and sexual innuendos. Some of them might have got it, you know, by the age like 9, 10, you do get the little jokes in songs and things like that. They could have just let it be an innocent song that it was supposed to be and that a 4-year-old would have heard it as, or, you know, they could say, no, we see what that is. Take that off. So I don't know. We have to look at ourselves. Sometimes we, what is that saying? Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. You know, it's not always, you know, a symbol of something else. So we have to look at ourselves, too. Are we too sexually upset? So to the point where we can't teach reproduction in a healthy manner. The show that I do with my sisters, Three Black Moms, and we're going to be talking about transgenders on this coming Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And it's definitely a very intense subject for us because my two sisters, they are diametrically opposed in a lot of issues like this. But we're going to have a guest on that is dealing with, you know, transgender child, a child who is feeling that they should be the opposite sex or, you know, someone feels gay, they're attracted to the same sex. How does a parent deal with that? You have to love your child, and if you're condemning your child, well, you are pushing them towards suicide because you don't understand something. You can't beat their sexuality out of them. You can't shame it out of them. When a child is born, you're discovering who they are. And if they are expressing something you don't understand, you love them anyway, and you support them anyway. That issue came up on one of my favorite shows, This Is Us. You know, the daughter of one of the characters, you know, she told her parents she was gay, and then she had a girlfriend, and they had to really struggle with that because, you know, you feel the way you feel. So, you know, they had to really kind of go through the process of accepting that which they may not have understood, but loving their daughter anyway. And that is the biggest challenge for a lot of parents. I know that's why a lot of homeless teens now have been kicked out of the house. Some of them being kicked out for being gay. And you deal with homeless people all the time. You know what the homeless life is like. Just imagine when you're a teenager and you're homeless.
Yep.
And you're trying to figure out how you're going to eat every day.
Yep.
And your own, what crime did you commit? Well, I love the same gender in an intimate way. So I need to, be made to sleep on the cold concrete? Really?
Right.
Is that a loving society that would do that to a person? So everything that we're going through is to be a mirror to us. How much have we learned how to love? And when we see unloving behavior, that means we still have not learned. That's why we got to keep going through these life experiences. You don't graduate from the earth school until you learn how to love. That's why we have all these experiences. And when you graduate, then you can go to a place where there's only love. But you can't go there until it's inside of you. As long as you feel like you need to condemn somebody, you need to hurt somebody, you need to punish somebody because they're different than you, can't graduate from it.
Excuse me.
So that's why we're here. And all of these things are coming to the surface so we can see ourselves. We can see how unloving we are to people who are different. We can see how hostile we are about sexuality. Why is that? You know, and I posed the question I think one of the three black moms shows, and I think also, you know, on someone else's show, we were talking about the abortion issue. We're human females are the only species that has no idea when we're fertile. Why don't we know our bodies? Because we have looked at sexuality as something shameful and dirty. If we were intelligent, we would study these bodies, and we would know that exact day when we're fertile. There would be no accidental pregnancies. There would be no issue of should I abort the fetus or should I keep it, or that wouldn't even be an issue. We would know our bodies like every female of every other species on the planet. It's only because of our twisted, misshapen beliefs about sex that we will not study our bodies. They work like clockwork. They work according to the moon cycle. I mean, we have all the information. Why aren't we knowing our bodies? How many of our mothers talk to us about sex? I'm done.
Not me.
Well, they said it. Don't be out there being fast and be with them boys. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Oh, if somebody touched you, oh, I'm a shameful, horrible person.
No conversation whatsoever. At 14, I woke up in a pool of blood, and I'm thinking I'm dying. Nobody talked to me about a menstrual cycle. I had no idea. My mom passed. I went to live with her aunt. She had two boys. What did she know?
Yeah.
Did she know about a cycle? She had one. She had two babies. But we never had that conversation.
Right. And we said, well, they should teach such education in school. Why are we trying to make strangers responsible for what we should be able to teach our own children? How does your body work? What are the signs for when you are fertile and your egg has been released and is ready for fertilization from a sperm? What are the physical signs? They're right there. And you can know the exact day when you are fertile if you pay attention. But if your parents, in their own lack of knowledge, if your mother makes you feel like, oh, yeah, that's nasty, then you don't even look at your genitalia. You don't even know how it works. You don't even know the sensitive parts. You don't know any of that. So then you get with a person of the opposite sex, and you're hoping that they know something about your part. They don't know anything about yours. Like, you don't know anything about theirs. What were you taught? Were you taught the sensitive parts of a man? This is the part of a man that nobody teaches you that. So you hope that he's practiced with enough people so that when he comes to you, he doesn't cause you pain. That's our introduction to sex. Does it make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
No. But in this culture, that evolved out of, you know, very puritanical European culture, but even some African cultures don't have it together. So just being from one continent or another doesn't mean we are highly evolved. Everybody on the planet has been ignorant when it comes to sex.
Thank you.
So now you have some men who will take their sons to a professional sex worker.
Do it all the time.
That will introduce them to sexuality because that's the only way they know. And that's been and so women who are sex workers, they feel like, well, look, I'm supplying a service. So do we condemn them? Do we jail them? Well, in many places, yes. But how hypocritical is that? If you have a large number of people who are going to sex workers who are paying for their services, who are taking their sons to them, but then if they get caught doing the business that they do, they go to jail.
Yeah.
That's hypocritical. And they wouldn't have to, we wouldn't have that trait if we could simply teach our children about sexuality. How do the parts work? It's supposed to produce a very high vibrational experience that brings you higher spirituality. That's what the sex act is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring you closer to the divine. How can you get there if you're believing it's shameful and you don't even know how the parts work? And you don't even know what day you're opening the gate for another soul to be able to come through you for this earth experience. So that ends up being an accident. So then instead of you welcoming the life coming through you, you're giving out vibrations of shame and regret. You're sending that to the soul coming to you. They're already injured before they get born because of the way you're perceiving your pregnancy, if it didn't happen according to a plan, which it could have been if you knew your body. So all of these things that we're being forced to look at as a result of the exposure of questions about one's sexual identity. What do we really understand about sex? Do we really understand its purpose and its power in creating and expanding consciousness? Are we teaching in a way that is wholesome and appreciative of what the sex act is? Or have we weaponized it and made it a source of punishment and shame?
Oh, yeah. It is a weapon. Yes, it is. We when women have children with men and they're mad at the men, what do? They withhold the love of the children. And the children suffer. You're already suffering. So that's why we do what we can to help maintain the sanity of our children. And we do that through the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which airs every last Saturday of the month. For June, it'll be June 30th. So if you have teens between the ages of 13 and 19, even though we do have preteens, we accept them anyway. They're children and they want to showcase their talent. Just send an email. It's on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Just send us a one-minute video clip with their name, the city they live in, or country, because we got so many from out of the country, and what their talent is, what they're going to do, sing, dance, write, act, direct, soul, whatever they're going to do, just send that to us. One-minute video clip of their talent, and then maybe 15-30 seconds of who they are as a person. So we want to leave that with you today. Oh, and for those who want to donate to the Teen Talent Contest, these are the donations. These are some of the prizes, I should say, that we will offer those who do donate. This is like a road cam. This is the big one you put on your front mirror in the car. And this is the other one where you can put it wherever you want to put it. When you make a donation to the Teen Talent Contest, $50 or more, because that helps us fund the contest. You know, we need T-shirts and things of that nature. So you have a tax-deductible donation available to you, $50 or more, as well as if you play $50 or more, we will send you a T-shirt as well. Excuse me. These are the T-shirts you hear me talk about in the morning. For our inhale and exhale series, it's important that when you're taking all those faith selfies of yourself, you need to see these T-shirts so that you can say affirmations as you are looking at them. Inhale affirmations, exhale negative self-talk, especially about the LGBT community, which you know nothing about until you have lived in that person's shoes. You have no right to judge, even if you have lived in their shoes. Inhale love, exhale hate. And you're absolutely right, Naima. That's exactly what we need, more love and less hate, because hate is simply a misunderstanding because you haven't taken the time to learn about a person, place, or situation. So inhale love, exhale hate. Next we have, and if you need love, give yourself some love. Don't wait on it coming from out there, he, she, it. Because that's not where real love comes from. Real love is within. It comes from within and it flows out. So if you need self-love, try some self-love. Inhale genius and exhale debt. This is one of my favorites. We all come into this world thinking we are less than and we are so much more. But, you know, most of the times we don't realize that until we get to be my age. But luckily this generation is learning at a young age, so I'm very grateful for that. Grateful for that. So inhale genius, exhale debt. And did I say debt? Yeah. Inhale genius, exhale doubt. Exhale doubt. We got to. Don't inhale that. And we got to meditate to activate. You have got to spend some time with yourself if you are to activate the powers within, because they keep the TV, the radio, the phone, all the games, they keep that, it's a distraction so that you cannot develop your inner self and learn to love your inner self and other people without criticism. That's why you must meditate in order to activate. And meditate is not always, you know, crossing your legs, holding your breath. You know, it could be looking out the window at the water or sitting in the grass, drinking a cup of tea, whatever. Just meditate. That's what you got to do. Meditate means... And let me tell you this, the goal of the meditation isn't to control your thoughts, but stop letting your thoughts control you. How about that?
And this is a favorite, because in America, everybody in debt. Inhale wealth, exhale debt. That is, the, except the 1%. Of course, they're wealthy. But if you want to increase your net worth, increase your self-worth first by putting you first. Inhale wealth and exhale debt. Inhale faith and exhale fear. That's my favorite, because we all living in fear at some point in life, because it's something we don't understand. It's foreign to us. So we just need to learn how to inhale faith and trust that the truth will be revealed.
Absolutely.
And simply trust. Inhale faith, exhale fear. And on that note, tomorrow morning, be sure and tune in for Jody Susan Self-Cell Care. And on Wednesday, what can we expect, Naima?
Well, we look forward to another exciting conversation with Maika as she joins us on the second Saturday, and we talk about our growing our own food with our pandemic farms and the work we're going to be doing out in the Pembroke area and some of the work we're doing here in the city of Chicago to revitalize these areas that we thought were just vacant lots with wheat. We're going to look at being able to change what we see in our environment and respect Mother Earth and let her help us with all of her wonderful plants that are for our nourishment. And then, of course, you've got Thursday, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and Friday, Health and Well-Being with Biana. And then Saturday, going to look at some candidates for office on Saturday and how they're addressing this issue of violence. And a special program that we're launching, and we'll be talking to you about this personally, called Lifting Our Vibration, Love. We'll talk about that this Saturday.
All right, now. Lifting our vibrations, because we're all vibrating on a different level.
What happens if people are maybe feeling bad or angry and upset, and then someone comes in their midst and breaks out in a song or a dance or starts telling jokes? Changes the whole atmosphere.
Yes, it does.
We'll be creating a way to change the vibration so that we can actually change what people feel, and therefore we can transform them from the inside out. They won't feel angry, and they won't feel inclined to act violently because we've shared the love.
And keep sharing the love. And keep sharing the love. And share the love with a homeless person when you see him. I forgot to mention that we are always in need of butane, charcoal, heaters, and generators. You're always in need. So please remember when you make a donation to the higherlearningnetwork.org, it is tax deductible, and you'll get gifts. You'll get the T-shirt or one of these. Okay, so we're going to leave you with the Female Solution promo today. We will see you back here tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. sharp. 7 a.m. sharp. 10 a.m., I got to get out of here. And I'll leave you with the Female Solution promo. Until then, stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to more of the Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network TV show. Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and 24/7 on the worldwide YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV show. Make it a great day. Thanks for watching, and please share this video. Thank you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda's Beat. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time.
Mama D.
With Viata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And this is the channel in which you can find all of the information you need right here on The Female Solution. Thank you so much for staying with us for the after show. I want to share with you one more time the screen just so you can see how you can make some money too, because everybody, Amazon take money from you. We want to share it with you. So enjoy this and please share this with someone.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickClick that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickClick on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickClick, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickClick and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickClick is more than...